The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you along this Wednesday morning. Today's focus on the fallout of the financial crisis breaks down like this. The good, credit markets continue to show signs of improvement. The bad, pessimism over corporate earnings outlooks is spreading. And so a lot of ugly as a result. Japan's Nikkei tumbled nearly 7% today. Other Asian markets saw losses of more than 5%. In Europe, losses right now of about 1.5% to nearly 3%. The Dow took a hit of 231 points yesterday, 2.5% to 9,033. A good question will be asked at a congressional hearing today. Where were the credit rating agencies to help prevent this mess? Firms like Moody's and Standard & Poor's were supposed to warn us about bad investments. The heads of the three biggest ratings companies will be on the hot seat. Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
As banks and mortgage lenders bundled their riskiest loans into tradable securities, the ratings firms gave the investments their highest seal of approval. In some cases, says Vanderbilt professor Hans Stoll, those AAA ratings were still in place when the value of the securities collapsed.
Their success in changing the ratings before the market does is abysmal.
Reform advocates say one reason for the inflated ratings is the issuers of the assets are the ones paying the rating firms.
It's as though you've got all the restaurant reviewers being paid by the restaurant owners.
Former SEC Commissioner Joseph Grunfest recommends that buyers of the securities do the ratings and send the bill to the issuers of the securities.
Then, if there is a problem with the way the ratings come out, the buyers have only themselves to blame.
The SEC will consider new regulations of the credit ratings industry sometime this fall. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
A Treasury official told a lunch group in Hong Kong today the U.S. economy could start to recover late next year. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson made similar comments yesterday to the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations in New York.
Although we expect current challenges to continue for a number of months, we will overcome them as we have overcome every challenge our nation has ever faced.
The next round of high-level talks with China is scheduled for December. Europe's key currencies are making new lows against the dollar. The pound plummeted after Bank of England head Mervyn King said the country is likely headed into a recession. As Megan Williams reports, there is a similar outlook for the eurozone.
The euro is now back where it was 2 years ago at $1.28. The pound, now at 1.62, has dropped to where it was 5 years ago. That's because investors are betting the European Central Bank has to cut interest rates again to help soften the blow of the weakening economy. Most of Europe is already or soon to be in a recession. Major central banks cut rates by 0.5 percentage point. Now investors are betting the ECB will cut again, maybe by as much as 0.75 point in the next half year or so. Currency strategist Ian Standard says U.S. investors are moving their money back into dollars.
In recent months, we have seen U.S. investors removing their overseas investments and taking that money back home. So that has been a trend, and that is consistent with a higher dollar.
Standard predicts the euro may soon drop to as low as $1.20 in the new year. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com.
Joe Wurzelbacher, a.k.a. Joe the Plumber, has become something of a celebrity. It's all thanks to his opposition to Barack Obama's plan to increase taxes for people making more than $250,000 a year. Wurzelbacher in particular slammed Obama for wanting to, quote, spread the wealth around. Joe and John McCain have called that socialism. But commentator Will Wilkinson says all tax plans, even McCain's, are by nature wealth redistribution.
If you ask Joe, the money Joe's earned is Joe's money. and it should be up to Joe, not the government, how to spend it. Well, I'm on your side, Joe, sort of. I dream of a government limited to a few essential functions with a minimum of redistribution. Sadly, no major candidate is offering that. In the system we have, as opposed to the one you and I might want, democracy just is one big machine for spreading the wealth around. The real question is how much of whose money is taken and who gets it. Politics gets nasty because everyone wants to control the business end of the tax and spend stick. Joe, did you, like John McCain, but unlike Barack Obama, support the invasion and occupation of Iraq? Well, that's cost taxpayers over $1 trillion so far and has, like it or not, spread a whole lot of wealth to defense contractors. What do you think of McCain's proposed $5,000 family health care tax credit? It might be a great idea, but it's not a way of not spreading wealth. The wealthiest 5% pay almost 60% of all federal income taxes, and they'll be footing most of that bill, too. And if you're sniffing around for socialism, why not try Governor Sarah Palin's Alaska, where every year the state pays residents equal shares of state-owned oil revenues? The one thing McCain and Obama seem enthusiastically to agree on, energy independence, would spread wealth from consumers and taxpayers to politically favored energy firms. The big difference is which companies get the subsidies. Joe, if you're listening, I feel your pain, because it's worse than you think. There's no way out. My guess is that under McCain's slightly more pro-growth economic policies, there may be a bit more wealth to spread, and the weapons manufacturers will be secure in their meaty share. Under Obama's policies, the ethanol racket is safe, labor unions may see their fortunes rise, and even you get that middle-class tax cut. If you can plumb the depths of that choice, Joe, give me a call.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. A link to his blog is at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.